Could you read a couple of scriptures, please, in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm off already. Pardon me, old memory. 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, there it is. I was wondering where the clock was. I'll have to watch it. I count it a privilege and an honor to be here tonight amongst you people in Woolton. It takes me back to 1947 when we arrived here. We crossed the Petula Bridge and only had 10 cents left. But Mr. Kopp had already found a job for us, and we started in the next day. But one thing he made sure of, he got an apartment for us, wife and I, right across the street. He wanted to make sure we were going to be close. So that Friday night, night after night, Friday night through the weeks, this is before the assembly was here, we had to be here for a children's meeting, then on Sunday afternoon as well. I remember those days well, and Woodland has been on my mind a good many times since then. But one of the highlights, as far as Woodland is concerned, was back in 48, 49, or 50, but when Mr. Knox was here. Those that were older will remember well how that this little hall was packed to capacity, night after night. In fact, there was people sitting on the platform here sometimes. But the last night that he was, the last day he was here, in the afternoon, he had a ministry meeting, or maybe it was the evening, I'm not sure, but anyway, that wasn't there, I don't think, and this one right across. And I started putting chairs across this way. And then across this way. And of course some of the brethren were after me. I was sitting back there where our brother McGaughy is tonight. And they were after me. Oh, come on, sit down. But I was timid. I should have gone at the first because there was only one seat left that was right there. And somebody came along and before I knew they had me on her arm and bring me up and set me down. Well, Mr. Knox, you remember how he used to go back and forth almost as much as our brother Hall. He was going back and forth and he looked down and he saw Albert's uncle, Mr. Hall. He says, where were you saved? So he got up and told where he got saved and how he got saved and so on. And of course, you see, he knew my father so well, and he thought a lot of my dad. And of course, whenever I was introduced to him when he first came here, you're Lennon's son. So anyway, at that time he was 65. I thought he was an old man. And now I'm 7 years older than him. The first thing, he was preaching away again, going back and forth, and the first thing he looked down, Edwin faced it. He says, where were you saved, young man? And so he got up and he told how he got saved and so on. He didn't ask them all that, but he looked over at me. So I said to myself, I'm next. So I got my head down between got my head way down like this. But you couldn't be like that very long with Frank Knox preaching going back and forth like this. And finally, when were you saved? I said, 2 miles from Nineveh. You what? I said, 2 miles from Nineveh. Will God help us? He says there's a man here tonight from Nineveh. So those meetings I well remember, and they were good meetings. And I just, you just want to get through with work to get back for the next meeting. I've read here tonight a very notable, a scripture that's known to all. I want you to think, first of all, the first couple of lines. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the first thing. What would that tell us? It just tells us this. If anything's going to be done for eternity, he's the one that has the power. And I've learned over the years that if we're in the place where God wants us to be, at the time that God wants to do a work, he'll allow us to have something to do with it. We can't run the rails and ask God to come and run on them. We have to be in a place where he is, because he's the one with the power. Jonah said it, and David said it as well, salvation is of the Lord. And over and over and over again, we have to remind ourselves, and sometimes we get away from it, and I have gone places before now, on the strength of somebody else's exercise. It's not much wonder there was nothing done. It wasn't an exercise in my own soul. What I'm saying simply is this. The evangelist has to learn this truth. All power is given to him. It's all in his hands. And if he's going to do a work, and you're there at the time, he may ask you to help a little bit along with that work. And that's it. What's the work we're supposed to do? Well, it goes on to say, go ye therefore into all the world. I'm so thankful that it starts out the way it is. Because if he asked me to go into all the world and preach the gospel, I wouldn't know where to go. But you see, he comes into the picture first of all. And he's the one that gives the power to carry it out. And he's the one that does the work. And souls have been saved by the grace of God. Then there's a little more here. Teaching them to observe all things. That's the work of the evangelist as well. But don't you see, if you're going into a new place, if you're going into a place where God is working and souls have been saved, I believe it's very imperative that the preacher, the evangelist, stays there and does what he's told to do, teaching them. How come we don't do it in the assemblies? Well, I think there's this reason. In the assemblies, when people get saved, the preacher moves on to another place. And it's up to those who are in the assemblies now to teach the all things to the new converts. That puts a responsibility on the place, the individual church that has been dealt with and God has dealt with and saved souls, it's up to them to do this very thing, teaching them. And you know, when I go back to Exodus chapter 12, I'm reminded over and over again, God told his people Israel, he says, when you go out into this, out of this place, tell your sons and your daughters, when they shall say, what mean ye by this business? Ye shall say. And you're supposed to tell them. You know something? I'm afraid that's not happening. Because there's an awful lot of places. And as I said last Sunday, it's hit my family, and it makes me wonder where we went wrong. I think we have the idea that because they're brought up in a Christian home, they know all this. We don't need to tell them. I want to say, they don't know. I was brought up in a preacher's home. And it was as dark as midnight, as far as the all things that are in the scripture for the person that's saved. And even after I got saved, even afterwards, I wasn't taking too much in. But when people are saved and brought into the assembly, it's the responsibility of that assembly to teach them all things. There's something else. There's a responsibility on the individual to observe, to do all these things that they are taught. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now I know. I'm quite aware of the fact that some people would say, because the three names are mentioned here in baptism, that this was for the Jew. Was Matthew 18 for the Jew? And if Matthew 18 was for the Jew, the whole thing's for the Jew then. So, this is for the day in which we're living. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. As I said last night, I'm not a missionary. And all morning I was wondering, what are we going to tell these people? Because you want God to get the glory. And yet the Christians are always interested in work that's going on. So how can you do it without doing a lot of bragging? I don't like that kind of thing. So I'm just going to take a little while this evening. Boy, the time's going fast a bit. I'm just going to take a few moments to show you, to try to show you what God has done in Prince Edward Island. I could get back to the early days when we first came from Ireland, and I was only 4 years of age, but I'll leave that, the Nova Scotia end of it, for Brother Hull. I'll start now with PEI. It's about 42 years ago. Mr. Ramsey asked us over for a series of meetings. And when we got there, once we got there, he was like Herb Harris almost. You couldn't get away. So we had to stay there. The first, I've got a lot of stuff written down here because I got the old memories cracking up. When I went over there first, there was three assemblies. Charlottetown, Clapham, Springfield. There was about 30, I would say, in Charlottetown, about 30 in Clapham, and 9 in Springfield. So there was around 70, 75 people in fellowship on Prince Edward Island. The first winter I was in the west end of the island for 18 weeks, and there was only a couple who got saved. But it was kind of starting things off. So we spent a few summers there, and then Mr. Ramsey, I'm going to call him Albert if you don't mind, because I can't think of him as Mr. Ramsey, but you talk about him as Mr. Ramsey, leave it that way. But I'm just going to talk about him as Albert. I spent 10 years with him continually. It was the best 10 years of my life. He found a man that was saved. Can I say this? He was listening to the radio, and he heard Mr. Fuller tell that the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the door to heaven. And he said to himself, well, if he's the door to heaven, I'd have to get to Christ then. It was good thinking, and he got saved. So Albert said, we're going to have some meetings there. So Bert Joyce was around the time, and we used to go up and have meetings in his house. And then the two of them got building someplace, and they had a series of meetings. And then that next summer, we put the tent up in Freetown. And people started coming. One man's name, in fact, the man who let us have the land for the tent, his name was Roland Hill. He says, I'm just not as good as Roland Hill. But he said, I got in with bad company, and he said, I started chewing tobacco. But anyway, the summer we were there, and souls were starting to get saved. Now it comes on near the fall, and it's getting cold, so the tent has to come down. So a man offered us a building, an old schoolhouse, for rent. So we rented the schoolhouse. There was 2 feet of grain on the floor. It was an old schoolhouse. 2 feet of grain on the floor and the rats running all through it. So we had to dig that all out and got some paint and painted it a bit and made it half respectable, and the people still keep coming. And some getting saved all the time. So Albert says, you know something? I think that maybe God has a place here amongst these people that he would like to start something. And the first thing I knew, we bought the hall. And of course we cleaned it up a little more. And then a little further along, the assembly was planted. And now they've got a lovely hall there in Freetown, and there's probably about 45 to 50 people in that assembly. At the same time, after that then, I was spending quite a bit of time on the west end of the island, and after that kind of, you know, when things were going good there in Freetown, and the assembly was planted one thing or another, then there came a dry spell. Do you know what I mean? A dry spell. Discouragement comes in. Things are not happening now. People are not getting saved like it was before. You know, I sometimes wonder if God has to take and give us a dry spell every once in a while to bring us down. Otherwise, we'd be way up here somewhere. I said to my wife one Sunday, you know, it's no sense me going to crapple this morning. The Christians are going to get to see that I'm not happy. And I wasn't happy. I wasn't enjoying the things of the Lord like before. You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool them all the time. And I said, I'm going to the west end of the island again. Up to Springfield. So on out. You know, the meeting went pretty good. Gospel meeting, that night, there was more people in that. It was an old wooden tent there that changed into a hall. And the floor was creaking and everything else, but there was more people in there for they had for years. And we're singing the last hymn. And I was sitting over here as we're singing, and Lewis McKenzie was sitting right beside me, and he got up after the second verse, and he says, stop a minute. He says, I think we should have a meeting here on Wednesday night. He said, would you come on with me? What did you say? I said, well, hold that block. Yeah? Yeah, okay. It was Christmas Eve. How are you going to have a meeting on Christmas Eve? So, Wednesday came. I said to myself, you're not in the right spirit. You're not in the right happy condition to have a meeting tonight. I left home early and I went up into the woods. I sat there for a while and I said, oh Lord, I'm not in a good condition. And I need to be restored. How can I preach the gospel tonight? It takes a happy soul to preach a happy gospel. I opened the Bible to Psalm 51. Started to read. And, oh, as I come down, it gets better. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then, my, there's a lot of thens in the Bible, and that's one good one. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners will be converted unto thee. I said, thanks, Lord. I could hardly wait to get to the other end of the island. Meeting, the place was packed. After that meeting, I'm sitting there again singing the last hymn, and Lewis gets up again. He says, I think we should be starting gospel meetings. Will you start on Sunday night? I said, yeah, well, yeah. So I started Sunday night. We had a week of meetings. What I'm coming at is on the Friday night. It was 2 nights after that Wednesday night meeting. On the Friday night. And it wasn't any great sermon, I want to tell you. It was just John 3:16, that's all. But Friday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, Lewis calls up. God bless Lewis. He says, hello, Robert. You know, you'd have to know him. Very quiet. And, hello, Robert. I said, hello, what's wrong, Lewis? Well, there's nothing wrong.
Well, I said, there must be something. What's wrong? Why are you calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning? You're not calling me, asking me about my health. Well, he said, I just thought maybe you'd be interested. He said, my brother Jack got saved on Wednesday night. I said, who? He says, my brother Jack.
Well, I said, oh, no, there's something wrong with it. Jack couldn't get saved, because what I was thinking about was when he was 14 years of age, he was going to meet his Mr. Harris had, and he went home one night and get down on his knees. He says, oh, God, I don't want to get saved now. Take the Spirit of God away from me. And I always took it that was his death blow. Now he's about 35 years of age. He'd been into all kinds of sin and so on. I said, no, Lewis, Jack couldn't get saved. Well, he said, I believe he is. Well, I said, I'm going to tell you something. If God can save Jack McKenzie, he can save anybody. My would just get started with me. So I was there for a week. And his brother professed to be saved. And then Mr. Ramsey comes home from up in Ontario. And he said to me, he said, where do you have meetings? I said, up in Springfield. Good, he said, I've been thinking about that for a long time. He said, I'll come up and help you. So we did. 10 weeks. About 30 souls professed. Most of them in the assembly. Night after night, as we're going home in an old panel with 15 or 20 people sitting in old bare seats in the old panels, fuck. They're singing the songs of the redeemed. I could hardly drive some nights. This is the Lord's doings, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So it wasn't long until they had a new hall there now. So we kept on at the west end of the aisle. Then the seal hunt came along. Now, I'm not going to say too much about the seal hunt because there's so many people and I've got so many wrong impressions about the seal hunt. And there's a bunch of lies, I can tell you. These fellas that's got it all fit, all done over and stopped, they've made millions. I mean millions. However, that is it. But in that time, when I was taking the seal hunters out on the ice, there was a chance to have a little word with them. And we got in with some of these boys. Oh, they were hard luck. They were hard luck. They were all poachers. I mean, you know, poachers. They're traps, getting lobsters every season and so on. But some of them are getting saved. One woman, she got saved, and she's now in the assembly a year later. So the next year we're back at it again, and Lewis, bless her, God bless her. I come back from home one day. It was a stormy day, so we weren't out on the ice. And here he's sitting, choking and coughing. Somebody gave him a few drinks. Didn't take much to knock him over. And there was about 14 in the kitchen. And there he was sitting, he could hardly open his eyes. And I just stood at the door. One after another were going out. And he looked up, he says, don't look at me like that way. I said, and then they'd all gone out. He says, where are they all? I said, they're all gone. And there's, Lester, you're going to be alone for all eternity unless you get God's salvation. He started to cry. He says, my wife got saved last year in your tent. And he says, she's prayed for me night and morning. And he says, I know when she's down there on her knees, she's praying for me. Would you come and have meetings at our place this summer? He says, you can have the front lawn for the tent. I said, certainly we will. So we went up there. 3 weeks later, Lester got saved. He stuttered terrible. He could hardly get a word out when he got excited. But when he got on his knee, on his feet to cry to God, he never missed a word. And when he got up behind the platform to tell how he got saved, never missed a word. Oh, what God can do. And you know, one of the conferences I was really thrilled to see. There was a fisheries officer.
who had been chasing Lester for years and trying to catch him, and couldn't. The fisheries officer was sitting right behind Lester. And over here was a mountie sitting right behind Peter Washington. I said, my, what the grace of God can do. It's marvelous. So anyway, the meetings went on in that old boathouse and different places in the tent, and then it came to fall again, and we have to get something. So he says, I don't know, but it seems as though God is working in this place. Maybe we should get a haul up. And so we went into the woods for a while and cut down trees and hauled them to the mill. One of the Christians had a mill, and the carpenters in this country wouldn't put up a building with it. I wanted to take them to some place where they'd size the lumber, but we haven't time for that. Get the thing out. So we got it up. But man, you talk about trying to get the wall straightened up when you're putting the finish on. It's trimming. But anyway, one of the times when this was going on, Arnold Grattan came down, and we still had the little tent, the little wooden tent, that is, canvas roof, but wooden sides. And it's getting cold, so we're going to put the stove up. And Albert said, where's the best place to put the stove? I said, back in the back there, of course. No one got too far to close here. He said, we only got so much stovepipe. So he looked in his pocket, and I looked in mine, and we got it together, and we said, well, that much should be able to get another 6 lengths of stovepipe. So we're talking this over, and Arnold Grattan comes in. And Albert went to get his clothes on to go for the stovepipe, and Arnold said, the father sent down $20 for you. So I ran back into the little trailer where we're staying. I said, Albert, I should have paid you. Oh, it's a place. My, we shut offers. Now, we shouldn't act as though we're millionaires, but by the same token, when God is doing the work, he supplies the need, and if he doesn't supply it, there's something wrong. It's not God that's wrong. It's me. Anyway, it wasn't long till the hall was built, and then it wasn't long after that, and the assembly was planted. Now there's about 30, 35 in that assembly. You know, we miss Albert immensely. It's like losing your right arm. He was a leader. He was an organizer. He could smell things that were wrong. And he could be straightforward to those that are wrong and try to show them where they're wrong. You know, he got discouraged, sure he did, but you never know it. One man got mad at the both of us because he thought we were, well, I won't say, but he got mad at the both of us. And Albert called me up one day, he said, we're going up west tonight, he said, we'll have a minister meeting. I said, is there Bible reading? Well, he said, we'll have a ministry. So we went up to Springfield, and I turned the chairs all around. I gave out a hymn, and while I was giving out a hymn, this man, I'm talking about, come in. He sat down. As much as they say, these folks want to speak tonight. So I get up and prayed, and I give up another hymn, and I saw him again. I said, Albert, go ahead. You go ahead. He said, look at something, you preachers. On the way home, I said, I don't believe you. He said, what do you mean? He said, I know you saw that man sitting there with his face as glum as can be, and the scowl on his face. I know you saw. Oh, he says, I thought he was praying for me. You know better than that.
that's the way you want.
Well, you know, sometimes when we're around some of the poor homes, some of the Christians are just got saved. I felt ashamed so often. He'd say to me, get the cash back. And I'd be going up, and he's going like this. Pass on $20. I'd say to myself, I didn't even see it. I didn't even know. That's kind of... When we're building the hall in Rosebank, I'll be down in 2 minutes. When we're building the hall in Rosebank, you remember, or some of you remember anyway, Mr. Ferguson had a pioneer stage in the emergency. And he was talking about no pioneering going on, and no not too much pioneer work going on in the world now. I was sleeping on the floor beside the register where the heat was coming up, and I always like to give him a better place. So there was a cot upstairs there, and Albert would sleep up there. But about 6 o'clock in the morning, he'd hear the 2 feet hit the floor, and then a little pump, the little, you know, Coleman stove, he'd be pumping away and whistling and singing and going on. And there was only an on and off. It had to be all the way on or all the way off. And of course, the smell of the place and the smoke going all over the place. And he was up there, and just about the time I got on my feet and I got to the bottom of the steps and I looked up and here the pans on there and everything's frying. And he's singing to himself, and all of a sudden, he stops. He says, oh, Lord, he says, I wonder if Ferguson would call this pioneer work. I said, what did you say? He said, would you come home? We miss him. There's not too many men like that around. God had his work done for him. He took him home. God buries his servants and carries on his work. I know I didn't get very far, but listen. Just keep on doing what you're doing in the assembly. Those who are the elders and those who are leading the flock, don't forget teaching them to observe all.